This is the E-Commerce Brain Trust, a podcast about building momentum online for established consumer brands. Join our hosts and their expert guests for high-level conversations about e-commerce strategies, trends, and innovations. Access our brain trust and boost your brand's e-commerce potential.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for listening in to yet another episode of the E-Commerce Brain Trust. As you're probably already aware, this month we're doing an ad series. We're going to be doing several episodes covering advertising on Amazon, Instacart, and Walmart. And we have some very, very interesting guests we're going to be speaking with. I am Stefan. I'm the Director of Marketplace Strategy here at Bobsled, an Amazon-focused agency founded and owned by Kiri Masters, the host of the E-Commerce Brain Trust. And today I'm joined by Ross Walker, a team lead with a PPC background here at Bobsled Marketing. Ross, thank you so much for accepting my invite and welcome to the E-Commerce Brain Trust.
Thanks a lot, Stefan. I'm happy to be here.
Awesome. Can you give our listeners a quick intro? Can you give us a quick introduction to you and your experience here at Bobsled?
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been in the e-commerce and digital marketing game for the last 4 or 5 years with agencies before Bobsled, mostly focused on e-commerce and traditional search marketing. Before I started really getting into Amazon, and that's been the primary focus for the last three-ish years or so. And I've been on the team now for about 2 years, which is awesome. I'm coming up on my anniversary. I started out as a PPC manager, and you know, like my favorite part of the job is, you know, figuring out PPC strategy, spending a lot of time in spreadsheets, analyzing data. And I was managing probably around $150,000 to $250,000 a month in ad spend for the last little while. And I became a team lead late last year. And I now manage a group of PPC team members and project managers here at Bobsled.
Awesome. Thank you so much for that, Ross. So with Bobsled being a full channel management agency, this is what I'm really curious about. There are a lot of advertising focused agencies out there. And I was just wondering, how big of a role does advertising play towards reaching an account's goal in a full channel management agency where you have organic marketing, when you have brand protection and all these additional pieces that are being managed by Bobsled's team members?
No, thanks for asking, Stefan. Yeah, you know, advertising plays a big part of the top of the iceberg, as Bobsled likes to put it. So, you know, that's the part of your operation that everyone sees, you know, your forward-facing product listings, your presence, your overall brand messaging and awareness. Advertising plays a big part in making that happen. So spreading visibility of your brand, making sure you're in front of customers at the right time so they can find you and make the purchase. And it's a big part of the top of the iceberg, but there's so much more, right? And good advertising, you know, it relies on, you know, a really, really great back-end operations team like what Bobsled provides. So making sure that the SEO is right, making sure that operations are in place, making sure we're not violating anything that Amazon puts in front of you.
Absolutely. Obviously, I agree, but I think you already know that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the other thing about advertising in terms of like the full channel management strategies, it can really be tuned to whatever the client's or the brand's life cycle phase is or whatever their goal is. Absolutely. So, you know, we can tune ops to help get rid of inventory and advertising can support that. We can tune operations to, you know, launch a product and make sure the best foot forward and advertising play a big role in that. And there's lots of different ways that it can change.
Absolutely. And I think you touched on a great point, just how advertising can be custom tuned to a client's life cycle phase, which kind of, I think, is part of the overall strategy, overall philosophy, where we'll try to share some of the main pillars on this episode. And, you know, I'm looking at my next question, and I think if I ask you this question, it's going to take us days for us to cover most of it. So at the risk of asking the biggest question, can you tell us a little bit more about Bobsled's PPC philosophy? What do you base it on? What are the main pillars of it? Anything you can share with us on this topic here?
Yeah, thanks. It is a big question. You're right. There's so much ground to cover there. Maybe I can start by just saying, you know, some of the things that some of the best practices that we think are really important from the ground up. So, you know, starting with really, really good research, understanding the history of your brand on Amazon, understanding your brand off Amazon, what channels are you in, Where else are you selling? You know, what's your brand messaging? You know, what's unique about your product? You know, we start with that, understanding our clients and understanding their products and their brand. And we build, you know, a really solid basis in keyword research to understand what types of keywords we should be targeting with our ads and how we should be optimizing our SEO so that those two things work together. And we also like to look at, you know, what does profitability look like on like an individual product level? So like, what is your break-even ACoS for each product at the outset? So we can then tune the performance of your ads to meet those goals. So whatever your strategy is, if it's growth, if it's profit, you know, if it's awareness, you know, we can tune how the campaigns are performing to what, you know, whatever the exact break-even ACoS is for your individual product. And so with that strategy in place, you know, we want to do a lot of testing of different creative types. We want to make sure that all ad types are running, so we're hitting customers at all parts of the funnel. And, you know, we want to test and learn and see, you know, at a really broad level, like what media channels give you the best ROI. Maybe being on Amazon and focusing on PPC makes the most sense for you. Maybe DSP makes sense. Maybe driving traffic from other channels makes sense. And testing and learning all of those and figuring out what really gives you the best lift in your sales is what we're all about.
Absolutely. And what I'm hearing you say is, I feel like the one main takeaway from this is, if we see a post, if we see any type of content that highlights the best Amazon PPC strategy or the winning Amazon PPC strategy, that's probably something we want to take a deeper look at, right? There's no one size fits all. There's not a strategy that, without taking a look at the products we're selling, without taking a look at the category, at the life cycle stage of the products of that brand, as you pointed out, it has to be customized, right? It has to be in line with the client's goals and even, you know, the opportunities where what they can reach there.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the things that I like about working at Bobsled is that we're an agency that has the capacity to do sort of individual client level strategies. We don't have a one size fits all approach.
Absolutely. And, you know, if we were to talk about the main strategies, I believe that most of the brands we work with, most of the brands we talk to, I mean, growth, sales growth is a very valid strategy. So what would you say to a brand who's looking to grow aggressively? What would you say are some of the levers on the PPC side that we can utilize for a brand whose main goal is sales growth for the rest of the year or sales growth for the next few years?
We often have brands ask us questions like that. How can we scale? How can we double, you know, how can we double our investment, and what kind of return can we expect, you know, on Amazon? So it really does depend on the time horizon that you're looking at. My overall overarching advice is that, you know, Amazon is a game of momentum and it can take time to build momentum. So we always say that, you know, you want to grow step by step. You don't want to try and see massive impact, you know, immediately. You know, it takes time for your ranking to move up. It takes time for Amazon to recognize that your product is doing better than competitors. And if you are getting, you know, really great traction in a really, really short amount of time from, you know, a huge amount of demand for your products, you know, that's fantastic. But driving that kind of growth usually requires purposefully driving it usually requires like a multi-channel advertising strategy. So, you know, what are you doing on Amazon? What are you doing off Amazon? How are you getting the word out about your product broadly? You know, we look at trying to pull all those levers to see growth on Amazon.
And to make things a little bit more complex, as they're not complex enough.
Nah. You
know, we're talking about, you know, knowing your products, knowing your brand, knowing the brand messaging that needs to go out there. How big of a role does, you know, competitive landscape knowledge play when it comes to defining and running with your advertising strategy? And are there any strategies that can be adjusted to, you know, how the competitive landscape is moving? Some of the steps that competitors are taking, some of the products that are keywords that are bidding on, and et cetera.
Every Amazon seller is familiar with the importance of having the capital to seize growth opportunities. That's why Payoneer, the sponsor of today's episode, developed their working capital solution specifically for online sellers. Payoneer's Capital Advance offers e-sellers selling on Amazon and Walmart up to $750,000 advancement instantly loaded a gradual settlement collected from future marketplace receivables, always leaving you some funds to manage the day-to-day and an attractive fixed fee. Skip the credit checks and learn more about bringing your e-commerce vision to life by visiting payoneer.com/funding. Again, that's payoneer.com/funding. You'll even get a special 10% fee rebate on your first offer.
Yeah, there's a couple of things that come to mind when we talk about that. So, you know, doing an analysis of the Amazon search results and getting a sense of what is your brand's share of shelf currently or share of voice? You know, how much of the search results are you currently taking up and what does the competitive landscape look like? What other brands are represented when people search for your brand, your brand name or your top category keyword or your competitor's brand name? Understanding that really helps you figure out who you're up against. And so we like to run those kinds of analyses for our clients regularly to sort of see where they are and see how the landscape is shifting. And we also utilize some tools to help us stay ahead in that sense. So we set up some automated bidding rules based on what a brand's current share of shelf is for, you know, defensive or offensive or ranking goals. So if you ever slip below, you know, top three in search, we'll increase your bid. Or if you ever slip off page one for organic, we'll increase your ad spend to get you back up there. So, you know, bidding towards those goals, setting the ad strategy to meet those goals is one of the ways that we look at the competitive landscape. And the other is Amazon's new reporting around impression share and category share. So those are really, really cool metrics that Amazon just released recently through the advertising reports, you know, and that can let you know, like, out of all the impressions of a single search term, you know, what percentage of that are you getting? And if you set your strategy to try and own a greater percentage of that, then you can actually see really, really tangible results out of Amazon.
Yeah, absolutely. I was definitely going to ask you about that one in particular, especially the search term impression share report. I think it's going to disrupt things. I think it's going to be very interesting for every brand to have this data, and, you know, we'll see how they use the data to make more educated decisions. But I really, really appreciate having access to these reports. I think it's becoming a big question for clients, brands, and I actually think Amazon releasing these reports is very interesting. I think they want to fuel some competition when it comes to advertising.
I think so too. I think it does throw gasoline on the fire in that sense. It's something that you used to only really be able to get out of, you know, Amazon, from Amazon. Like it was a 1P insight, like what percentage of all, you know, impressions in a category or for a search term are you getting compared to your benchmarked against your competitors. But making it available widely, yeah, it absolutely spurs action.
Hey, you're right. It was back in the ARA premium times, right? It was a premium report available for Vendor Central users or
That's
AMS
right.
users a while
yeah,
ago. Wow.
Yeah. Or DSP users, if they had an account exec, could request it. You know, it was not easy to get your hands on.
Absolutely. And Ross, we kind of talked about the growth strategy. How do we grow sales on Amazon? Can we sort of spend some time discussing about the inverse? You know, a lot of brands would only be interested in optimizing their advertising performance, reducing ACoS, getting a higher ROI on their advertising efforts. Can you tell us about some strategies that we can implement when we have this goal in mind?
It's a really good question. And it's a fraught question, right? Because sometimes, you know, lowering your ROI, or sorry, lowering your ACoS can have like a big impact on your overall account, right? So we're always hyper, hyper aware of what can happen through over-optimization. So, you know, reducing your bids to the point where you're not competing in any auctions anymore, you know, reducing your ad spend so that you're seeing, you know, overall a lot less visibility, which can impact your organic rankings, can impact your organic sales. So there are a few different things in the matrix to consider. If it's the case that, you know, you really want to try and, you know, lower your ACoS, you know, we look to some basic best practices. We look at the use of negative keywords in your campaigns. We look at the campaign bidding types that you're using. We look at the placements, like your placement report. So, you know, what does your return look like for top of search versus product pages versus rest of search? We look at what campaign types are performing best. So, you know, are your auto campaigns outperforming your manual? Or are your manual outperforming your product targeting? You know, are your sponsored display campaigns overpacing? You know, are your how much are you dedicating to sponsored brand video? So we look at all of those things, and we can tune the account the way your current spend is being allocated to try and increase or improve your ACoS without impacting your overall sales overall. So those are some of the things that we think about.
Absolutely. And with this in mind, I usually feel like ACoS is an interesting topic when we onboard a client, when we start working with them. So related to that, can you walk us through the first 30 days of managing a new client's account, some of the steps, some of the communication best practices, some of the things that the team makes sure are covered?
Yeah. So, you know, we always try and start off the relationship, you know, at a pretty fast pace. So, you know, we try and get to know the clients right away, understand their brand, really get into researching their products. So doing our keyword research, doing our market research, like I mentioned before, right? Like understanding the foundations, what's the size of the prize? Where do you stand currently in the mix? And then try and give a budget and a forecast from a PPC perspective and a game plan for, you know, overall account optimization from the operations side. So, you know, what kind of SEO work do we need? You know, what kind of improvements to product pages can we make? How can we improve your catalog? Things like that. And from the advertising side, you know, within those first 30 days, we really want to try and get our foundational campaigns in place. So we want to make sure that we're hitting, you know, all your campaign types, we're hitting as many of your goals as we can within the budget that we've forecast for you. So defensive goals, offensive goals, competitor targeting, ranking for specific keywords, all of those things. And then, you know, within those first 30 days, we're testing and learning and optimizing to find out which, you know, which of the things that we're doing are bringing you the best results in terms of what your goal is. So, you know, is it growth? Is it profitability? Is it awareness? And tuning it to that.
Absolutely. And I think you touched on this while we were discussing a share of shelf and benchmarking performance and how we measure that data and how we bid against it. But can you tell us more about how technology plays a role, especially now in 2021? I feel like technology is growing in terms of acceptance and importance in the Amazon advertising field.
Yeah. So we use tools, you know, third-party tools that help us to scrape data from Amazon for keyword research to find out, you know, how certain products are ranking for different keywords, to find out what the search volume is for different keywords. And we also use tools to figure out, you know, what the market looks like. So like, what is the revenue for a certain brand in a given month? Like, how does that pace over the year? How do you compare in terms of your revenue? And we also use our tools for that share of voice and share of shelf, because it is an onerous process to check the search results every day and to keep in your mind, you know, what is the competitive landscape from my perspective, because I have a lot of brands that I look at, and the team has a lot of brands that they're looking at. So we use tools to aggregate this data into one place so we can see, you know, regular reporting on how our brand is doing, how is the competitive landscape shifting. And at the same time, we really like to use bid optimization and reporting automation so that we can spend more time looking at the overall strategy. We don't have to worry about, you know, day-to-day bid changes. We can make manual changes when we need to, but we can rely on our tools to keep us covered on that side of things so that we can focus on, you know, growing our brands.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of the main advantages, I'm not sure if it's being marketed that way or just if even technology providers are exploiting this, but I'm seeing a lot of these technology providers for Amazon releasing support for additional marketplaces. So I feel like ultimately, even having all of the brands in all of the marketplaces that you support enrolled within a single technology tool provider, I think it's ultimately, this is probably years from now, but I'm sure it'll be beneficial just being able to aggregate data or even just shift through clients, shift through tabs faster. It has to be. I'm sure the team appreciates this.
Yeah. I mean, we certainly do from a workload perspective. And I think our clients do as well, because they get, you know, access to insights that we have that, you know, might have taken a long time to pull quarterly or monthly or what have you. You know, we can sort of have them at the drop of a hat, and we can share insights with them with, like, you know, shareable dashboards. So they have insights into how their campaigns are performing or what the impact of different marketing activities has on the account.
Absolutely. And Ross, I've been meaning to ask you, I feel like this year, especially maybe even throughout the entire 2020, but 2021 for sure, a lot of brands are utilizing DSP. A lot of brands are interested in the managed service or the self-serve solution that they have. Mm-hmm. I do think it's becoming more accessible to brands. A lot of agencies are offering this. So when it comes to the comparison between sponsored ads as a service and DSP mm-hmm. as a complementary or an additional service there, are the strategies, approaches, philosophies, as we've been talking about today, are they different? And can you tell me a little bit more about how we would, the differences between these, how we would approach these types of advertising platforms?
Yeah, no, thanks. That's a really good question. I think fundamentally you are advertising, right? So the DSP and sponsored ads are following some of the same principles, especially with DSP dynamic e-commerce creatives or responsive creatives that look exactly like sponsored product ads. So the way that customers experience those types of ads is exactly the same. And so from that perspective, you want to optimize for some of the same kinds of things, you know, depending on the goal. ROAS, if growth is or profitability is your goal, like impressions, if awareness is your goal, you know, clicks and detail page views is if engagement and is your goal, you know, you sort of have some overlap, but there are some really, really big differences in, you know, how they get there, like how they get in front of customers. So I think the biggest differences are in targeting. You know, DSP has no keyword targeting. So you can't do that kind of intent-based advertising that you can with sponsored ads. So like that's sort of like one of the big top line ones. But by the same token, DSP has access to a much broader set of audience targeting behavior. So even though Amazon at the very bottom of the funnel, when someone types into the search bar exactly what they're looking for, you can put the ad in front of them at exactly the right time. With DSP, you know what customers are doing in the aggregate. So what they're doing when they're not searching. So, you know, are they browsing around for, you know, new cookware? Are they in market for something in the cookware category? You know, so if they've been doing a lot of searches for things related to cookware that isn't exactly your product, but you want to get in front of them, a DSP audience could do that. So that's a really cool piece of the puzzle in terms of targeting. The other thing, which is really interesting for me, has to do with ad placements and the value of each. So sponsored product ads are, you know, all over Amazon, more so in 2021 than ever before. There are more sponsored placements. They're in search, they're on the product detail pages, but that has traditionally been the limit, right? If you wanted to track people off of Amazon, you couldn't really do it with sponsored ads. Now with sponsored display, you can a little bit, but it's not exactly the same as DSP. You have a lot more power in terms of audience targeting with DSP. So there you can follow your customers who have visited your product detail pages off Amazon, wherever they are on the web, and buy ad inventory through, you know, third-party marketplaces. So, you know, you can show up on any kind of website. You can track down your customers if they didn't make the purchase. You can get in front of your competitors' customers if they didn't make a purchase. You can get in front of someone who is maybe they don't even know what they want yet. Maybe they just found out that they're pregnant. You know, they don't know what they need. And you can put an ad in front of them. Amazon can give you the insights to do that and the ability to do so with DSP.
Absolutely. I think the reach
that was part... not a plug. That was not a plug for Amazon, by the way.
No, I just think that the reach aspect is very impressive to me, because I think the first question I ask a person on the PPC team here at Bobsled is, you know, what are the websites? Where are the ads going to get displayed as it relates to DSP? And I think the best possible answer, something that you touched on today, is, you know, between Amazon owned and operated and third-party exchanges, I think Amazon DSP has a huge reach. You can pretty much target most of the websites on the web.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
definitely,
absolutely.
Definitely expanding beyond the Amazon.com platform and the application that they have. Mm-hmm. Ross, thank you so much for joining me today. I have to tell you, I really enjoyed our conversation, and we have to find more topics we disagree on. I don't think, I'm not sure how interesting a conversation is, but I'm agreeing with you 100% all the time.
We can talk about splitting up your ad groups by match type. That's a good debate.
Yeah. I think that's a topic for a whole different episode.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Awesome. Ross, before I let you go, would you tell us what would be the best place for our listeners to connect with you?
Yeah, I'm on LinkedIn, and whenever an article that I'm featured in on Bobsled or maybe even this podcast comes out, you can see my face there, and I'm part of the Bobsled team, so you can reach out to me on LinkedIn.
Awesome. Ross, thank you once again for being a part of this episode.
Thank you, Stefan. It's been a pleasure.
To learn more about how Bobsled's PPC professionals manage advertising accounts, reach out to us. You can find us at bobsledmarketing.com. Our sales team would love to give you an overview of our process. Thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in today. We'll have a few more episodes from the ad series, so hopefully you'll find these interesting. Thanks for listening.